Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Kash Patel joins us to react to the news that Donald Trump very well might be arrested any moment now. We dive deep into this topic. Also, Dr. Kevin Roberts from Heritage Foundation joins us to react what we can do about it. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is on the front lines. Every single student listening to my voice right now should be involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. You'll be able to separate the different types of shows, different types of podcasts, different types of live streams based on three categories. People that are like, oh, there might be legitimate charges here. They're a waste of time. The second of which will be kind of the normie take. Like, okay, this is bad and wrong, and let's write an op-ed about it, and let's tweet about it. That'll show them. The third category is where we live, which is the most important, which, yes, it's wrong. Yes, it's bad. Here's why it's bad. And then we ask the question, why are Republican district attorneys and attorney generals not using political power to investigate, subpoena, and eventually indict the members of the Democrat crime family? Why is that? What's the answer? Why can't we just get one of these people to go to jail? Dr. Kevin Roberts does a fabulous job running the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Great to join you. Here we are in America at this crossroads where not everyone knows what time it is. You certainly do. Your audience does. And so it's always a great pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. So we're about to see, it looks like, the arrest of Donald Trump on awful and terrible charges. You mentioned what time is it. Why don't you elaborate on that? What time is it? Is it time for op-eds and newspaper articles?
No, man. That's D.C. swamp think. What time it is for people to recognize, A, we do have to do one bit of recognition. I don't mean that passively, but recognize that we have a two-tiered system of justice in this country that's relevant regardless of what someone thinks about President Trump. And so if I encounter someone who isn't as grateful for him as you and I and your audience are, I say it doesn't matter, because if this can happen to him, it can happen to all of us. But number two, we really do need to, and I mean this figuratively, because of all the charges that will come my way and your way, if it's taken literally, to tear out root and branch this two-tiered system of justice, whether it is going into the Federal Bureau of Investigation and totally starting from scratch, or as my Heritage colleagues have done, Cully Stimson and Zach Smith, they've been analyzing with great detail the rogue prosecutors in this country, including this joker in New York. We have to completely overhaul that. The time is for action. And by action, Charlie, I mean action that changes things permanently, understanding that the left hates us and they hate what we believe. And by calling for this action, we're not calling for violence, obviously, quite the opposite. What we're calling for is for sober-minded, conservative Americans, centrists, who don't care, you know, who their political candidate is, to go take action in fixing this problem rather than just sitting around stroking our beards and writing op-eds about it.
Yeah. And so the average everyday person is becoming sharply cynical. And that means your country is about to fall apart. People that pay their taxes, they send their kids to school, they go to church, they run businesses, they don't commit crimes. Some of them like Donald Trump, some of them don't. But the ones that do, they really have admiration for what he's done for the nation. And then they see just the nonstop barrage of crimes by the other side. James Comey, Peter Strzok, not just crimes, you know, outside of government, but in government, right? All that, those cast of characters. And then they see violent crime go up, like in Washington, D.C., those two girls who murdered the Uber driver got juvenile detention up until 21, one of the most horrific videos. And the local DAs just kind of say, yeah, that's fine. Or if you firebomb police officers, or if, for example, in Georgia, when you kind of you bring 150 people to go bomb a police training facility, Cop City, they only arrest 20 or 30 of them. And, you know, this starts to kind of just pile up. And everyday people then say, wait a second, and now you're going to use the handcuffs? Now you're going to use the fingerprint processing center against Trump? Kevin, I'm deeply afraid that regular people are about to reach one of two things. They're going to reach a simmering point that's really bad, or they're going to completely disconnect from the system in a posture of permanent cynicism.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I think the way you frame that crossroads, Charlie, is spot on. And I just want to underscore something that you know to be true, and people who are watching or listening to us know to be true. For someone to say that Americans are either going to be in a permanent state of cynicism or they're going to reach a simmering point doesn't mean that we're talking about Americans who are ready to start a civil war. You know, that's what the Washington media and Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney mm-hmm. want to say. They love this false dichotomy. Rather, you're being really thoughtful. My colleagues at Heritage are being really thoughtful in saying, we're so concerned.
I totally about agree.
About the social problems. That's the last thing we want.
I just want to be very clear. It's actually my heart is for unity. And I think that you get closer to discord when you perp walk a president for the first time in American history over a paperwork issue. Meanwhile, violent crime is going through the roof and the entire Democrat mafia is wealthier and more protected than ever. Please continue, Kevin. Sorry.
No, I appreciate the interjection because it's so crucial to make that to underscore that. But I think the point is that there are tens of millions of Americans. These are normal, successful people who would never be engaged in any kind of violence against anyone, who are saying mm-hmm. this country that I love, this country that perhaps, you know, some of these folks have given military service to, is lost. And really, once you reach to that point, or reach that point, to sum up here, Charlie, you're either going to be in a permanent state of checking out, like what Tim Carney mm-hmm. writes about in his book Alienated America, or you're going to reach a simmering point where, you know, you start contemplating things that are not at all healthy. And you care about, I know that I and my colleagues at Heritage care so deeply about the social fabric of this country. When we see what's happening to President Trump, when we see what's happening to people like Mark Houck, the pro-life leader in Pennsylvania, we realize it's a different set of rules if you are a conservative, and we've had enough.
Yeah. And so the everyday person, and our emails are just getting flooded. We've gotten thousands of emails. People say the country is over, it's gone. I want to just challenge some of you out there, which is the attitude we're going to have, is yes, we're going to acknowledge all the issues, but I don't know if the left has gone through this calculus, but I'm sure it would be in their own calculation, an unexpected and lovely additive. They would love for us to just give up because of all this, right? They'd love to, what's the point? They're just going to lock all our guys in jail. There's nothing that we can do. And instead, we have to have an intentional attitude of perseverance. Yes, it's unjust. Yes, we're going to do something about it. But the worst thing we could possibly do is have them rob us of our passion or enthusiasm for America.
Yes. And as you know, Charlie, I like to refer to myself as a recovering academic. For 25 years, I've been fighting the radical left, especially in academia. And I can tell you from my days when I was a young history professor, totally outnumbered as a conservative Christian, I went home in that first year and I told my wife, I said, you know, I think they expect me to give up. And that, as I've gone to state capital, Austin, Texas, and now Washington, D.C., it's so true. They expect good people of faith, people who love this country, love their neighbor, would give them the shirt off their back, regardless of their politics, to just say, America's over. And so I would absolutely reiterate what you just mentioned, which is, I understand fully everyone's frustration. And yet, this country still has a path, albeit narrow, ahead. And President Trump would be the first to say that this is worth fighting for. Other people who want to lead this country are saying the same thing. That isn't empty talk. We can both fight the system, this two-tiered system of justice, while also recognizing that by doing so, we're hopefully broadening, we're widening that narrow path ahead. I hate hollow optimism, Charlie. So I'm not just saying this to encourage people. I'm saying it because I know, as you do, traveling this country every week, visiting with real Americans, there is a chance for us to save this great republic. There is no chance if we all decide to stop fighting for it.
I agree. And boy, the hits keep coming. If I was the devil and I wanted to try to get people to give up, I would have banks collapse, the currency on edge, us involved in these stupid foreign conflicts 5,000 miles away, keep our own border open, and use the power of arrest against a former president for a paperwork issue while violent crime is skyrocketing. That's only if I was a diabolical figure. Dr. Kevin Roberts from Heritage.org, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, a couple things. People say, Charlie, what's the solution? What's the solution? I've laid out a solution, and it's very simple. You must acknowledge it's a sad day in America, number one. Then number two, you must suck it up, and you must call on every attorney general and every DA to say, we are going to investigate the Democrat crime mafia. We're going to create the Republican Attorney General and DA member council, and we are going to say to the Podestas, to Soros, to Clinton, to Biden, to Obama, we're going to investigate you. We're going to subpoena you. We're going to have grand juries impaneled. You're trying to tell me that Bill Clinton and Bill Gates rode on a plane with Jeffrey Epstein? I'm going to issue a subpoena to learn all about that. You're trying to tell me Mark Zuckerberg illegally funneled $400 million in the 2020 election? We're going to issue a criminal subpoena to learn all about that. But it would require our side to have a spine. And it would require our side to stop being comfortable. You see, they are in the trenches. They are knife fighting, dirty trench warfare activists. And we are the higher people. Yeah, we're going to lose. That's the solution. But also, it requires a proper response. We've been receiving a lot of emails about how have presidential candidates respond to this. Let me first say a positive response. Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, has so far had the best response here, calling on every other person running for president to say this is an outrage. Good for him. Play cut 14.
I would like for even the beloved donor class favorites in this race, including Nikki Haley, including Ron DeSantis, to join me in calling on the New York Manhattan District Attorney to abandon this political persecution through prosecution. It's a very clear statement. Either you're on that side of actually avoiding that political persecution as prosecution, or you're not. And if you're not, that's fine. You better explain why.
He's so clear. I got to give him credit. He has changed the dialogue, and I think he has really made this, he's made at least politics the last couple of weeks, Vivek, a lot more entertaining, and he's raised the bar. I mean, you got all these people. You got people saying, oh, yeah, abstractions. He says, no, this is clear. We have this over that. Good for him. Now, I have a great deal of respect for Ron DeSantis. I think he should have handled this response differently. I think this, he should have read the room and understood that the Republican base, it's not even about Trump. It's not about any of this. This is pure principle. And Ron DeSantis is receiving a lot of negativity based on this response. I think Ron DeSantis meant well. I think he could have handled this better. Play cut 12, please.
You're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. And I think that that's fundamentally wrong.
So look, he said the right thing in the second part of that. He did get some giggles out of the crowd. But people are very angry at Ron DeSantis' answer there because he repeated the kind of hush money porn star thing, and people don't want to hear that right now. And look, our emails are lighting up, and they're not exactly thrilled with Ron DeSantis saying this. Here's what Ron DeSantis should have said. He should have said, boy, Trump has been really unfair to me the last couple weeks. But I don't care because this is so wrong. This is so evil. This is so immoral. And I got to tell you, this makes me angry and it should make you angry. In Florida, we're a state of freedom and liberty where due process and the Constitution will always be the law of the land. And I am outraged at what's happening in New York. And boy, do I have my differences with how Donald Trump has handled calling me names and stuff. But I'm going to put that all aside and say that principle and love of country comes above all of that. And I think Alvin Bragg, or whatever his name is, should resign in disgrace. If he would have said that, that he would have skyrocketed in popularity. Instead, it just looked a little bit like he was trying to jab Donald Trump while he was about to be indicted as the first president in American history. It was an opportunity. It just kind of looked like he was just kind of doing a little bit. And I say that as a friend of Ron DeSantis. I'm just giving some unsolicited advice here. I think it was actually an opportunity that was not taken there. It wasn't awful, but boy, you, the audience, are really upset with how we handled that. I love your thoughts. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Look, Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it, but companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest nation on earth. Look, Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Look, they offer dependable coverage for all three major networks, and they offer you a performance coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you could switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. All this, plus the knowledge that you're supporting free speech, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching awfully easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call them today at 878-PATRIOT. Make the switch. It's no new money out of your budget. In fact, it will save you money. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Get free activation today with the offer code Charlie. We need to stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. This very well could be a historic week. The Manhattan District Attorney Office, they're putting up barricades outside the office. Donald Trump said this weekend he's going to be arrested this week, so it looks as if we are heading towards an indictment. And joining us now is someone who has actually indicted people before, and he knows what he's talking about. Cash Patel joins us. Cash, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie, great to be back with you.
So, Cash, it's a unfortunate set of circumstances we find ourselves in. Your reaction and how we should respond.
Well, one, my reaction has been based on themes. And the biggest theme I've been fighting against is the destruction of the two-tier system of justice. And we see it on full display here. We got to remind the audience, when Hillary Clinton, when we exposed that she used campaign money to pay for the dirty steel dossier, the Department of Justice refused to prosecute her, as did every state attorney's office around the country. She was fined by the FEC for improperly utilizing campaign funds to pay for a non-campaign related event. So in the worst case scenario for Donald Trump, not admitting he did anything wrong, in the worst case scenario, it's a campaign finance civil fine. But we have a disparate treatment of it because he's Donald Trump. And then, you know, we'll talk about the grand jury and the new witnesses going in today later. But that's sort of the lead off that people need to remind them.
So let's kind of take a step back, Cash, and I want you to kind of LARP, live action role play, as if you're Alvin Bragg. Our audience is our audience is confused. And so I just want you, in a minute or less, just give the best case for their case, as if you were having to be a prosecutor for the DA. What is Donald Trump being charged with? What is the precedent here? Does that make sense? Like, build it out so our audience just gets all the facts of actually what's going on here.
So if you had a case, if I was Don Alvin Bragg, I would want to bring a prosecution based on not just a campaign finance violation, because that in and of itself is a civil, non-criminal penalty. when you tie it to another crime, to use it to conspire to do something illegally, then that becomes a felony. And if I was Alvin Bragg, that's what I would have to tie it to just to get past the statute of limitations argument, which is a whole separate issue. So what I would do is show that this money was utilized not just illegally, unlawfully and improperly for campaign purposes, but to extort someone else to get a definitive result that they would not have otherwise gotten, i.e. a bribe.
And I mean, this case seems shaky at best. He must be very confident in the jury pool that he'll be able to attract in New York, right?
Well, it's New York City, Charlie, and you know how that goes. I guess the only worst jury pool is Washington, D.C. But here's the interesting part. The jurors, no matter what, from my perspective as a public defender and a national security prosecutor, having been on both sides of it, in grand juries and been a grand jury targeted witness myself, you still have to listen to the witness. And one of their main witnesses is a convicted federal felon, Michael Cohen, who is convicted of lying and defrauding people out of their own money. And their entire case supposedly is built on his testimony. They have a new witness going into the grand jury, I think in like 35 minutes or so here, who is going to contradict supposedly everything Cohen says. And this new witness has no felony record, has never lied, has never defrauded anyone. So the jury still has to get through that. I know the jury pool is tainted. It's probably going to be pretty bad anyway. But that's a significant piece of evidence that Donald Trump will have going forward should he be indicted.
Yeah. And I mean, Cash, what we have here, though, is a beyond overreach. The predecessor refused to pursue this case. The DOJ refused to pursue this case. But they're going to try to go through it with it anyway. And it is revenge. It's revenge-driven politics for Donald Trump winning in 2016. And they're also just trying to do it in the most ridiculing and humiliating way possible, right? Donald Trump used to be the darling of New York. He helped build New York. And then they want to indict him there. Your thoughts, Cash?
Yeah, they want to use him as the continued pinata. This is going to be the time, from their perspective, in their heads, we finally get him. And I just don't agree with that. It's going to be yet another gesticulation derived from the deranged theories of Russiagate onto Ukraine impeachment 1, 2, Jan 6, what have you. Every prosecutor from Mueller to Weissman to DOJ, Garland and Chris Wray and Rosenstein has been trying to get Trump. And do you think it's going to be this local state prosecutor who's funded by George Soros after the DOJ precedent has already been set and these guys couldn't charge Trump? He's going to come up with a 6-year-old crime that's going to take out Teflon Don and the next president of the United States? I just don't see it.
Yeah, I just so if this ends up happening, what does this mean for 2024?
Look, I'm not the political expert, but maybe I'll borrow from Elon Musk, who I don't often borrow from. Donald Trump wins in a landslide. This is going to cause a political implosion, I think, if he's charged, because what people are going to do is they're the ones that aren't you and I and your audience who focuses in on this stuff a lot. A lot of other Americans are going to be like, what is going on with this two-tier system of justice? I don't want my family and my friends prosecuted because they voted for Trump. That's what's going on here. And it's going to expose that drastic divide. And DOJ and FBI have now extended into the state judicial system. And I just don't think it's going to be good for them.
So the audience is pretty fired up about what I think was a missed opportunity for Ron DeSantis. Some people think that it was fine. Most people in our audience are really upset about it because it was just misreading the room. I think it was a missed opportunity. Let's replay it for you, Cash, and I want your reaction. Play cut 14, please.
You're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. And I think that that's fundamentally wrong.
Second part I thought was fine. The first part is getting a lot of backlash. I think some of it is a little overblown, but I do think Ron DeSantis missed an opportunity. He could have stepped up and stood for principle here, and I don't think he quite understands how the conservative base is viewing this, which is a Stalinistic development in our once free country. Cash.
Look, yeah, it's no surprise that I'm obviously all in for President Trump. So that bias aside for your audience, I do think Governor DeSantis is doing a great job in Florida. But that initial statement is the one I would focus on, the disclaimer. And I'm using quote marks because why did he need to talk about the purported facts in the case or not facts? Why didn't he just jump in as one of the most popular governors of our time and say, let's destroy the two-tier system of justice? I, in my state, don't target people based on political orientation. We chase down criminals. We trace down murderers, rapists, and drug cartel characters. Instead, he bookended his statement, which was late, by the way. He could have done this like a week ago, like Vivek Ramaswamy and others have done it, who were smart to politically capitalize on it. He bookended it, and the middle part of the statement, which was correct, sort of gets drowned out, and now he's dug himself into an even deeper political hole because he chose to be reticent when he should have just been fired up out of the gate.
So, Cash, I'm not thrilled to suggest this, but I believe it is the only way forward. We live in a power struggle with Marxists and totalitarians, Leninists, Stalinists, Maoists that have taken over our government. The Democrat crime mafia has largely gone untouched. Durham was a complete swing and a miss. I don't even know if he's still doing his thing. It's a waste of time. Isn't it time for us to use district attorneys and AGs to start investigating and indicting the members of the Democrat mafia?
Well, you know, Charlie, I'm reminded of this great guy who has a show out of Arizona and this other guy who talked about using district attorneys and state attorney generals such a long time ago. I have to go search the history records for what show that
no one listened to me, but that's okay.
And who says these things? Who has these brilliant ideas? But you're right. Look at the weaponization use of a district attorney in New York City for political purposes. What if our AGs in everyday America started chasing down Democrats who we know actually commit crimes that tie campaigns, finance violation to felonies and other such matters? Why don't we chase them down if our federal government...
Or just really simple. Hey, Bill Gates, can you come in for a testimony in front of a grand jury? Did you fly on a private plane with underage girls illegally trafficking them? I mean, just a simple question, Bill Gates, yes or no? Bring in your attorneys. It's fine. I mean, just who else was on the plane? What did you do on that island, Bill Gates? Like, that's how Republican AGs should operate, but that would require courage, of which Republicans have none.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. And you're right. You don't need the conviction. This is what I've been saying about the new Congress and the House Republicans who are trying to chase the shiny object. Get the documents, get the testimony, put it out to the American people. If one Republican attorney general, DA, would swear in six witnesses, whether it's on Epstein or what have you, and just put that information out there, that would be a home run.
How about another one? Another one. Mr. Hunter Biden, you have been subpoenaed. Oh. Who bought your paintings? Exactly. What did you know about those paintings? You're trying to tell me that there's not any red state DA or AG jurisdiction over this? Or how about the woman he impregnated in Arkansas? I mean, final thoughts, Cash.
No. How about the $1 million that came in from the CCP to Joe Biden's family, his brother, his dead brother's wife, who he ended up with, which is a whole other disgusting thing. When did she get the money and why did you bring her into the matter? We're talking about seven figures. Let's just put the banking statements out, which I hope Jim Comer, though, he's been doing the right thing on the investigative front, but we need those documents ASAP.
Yeah, but that would require Republicans with courage and a will to save the country. Instead, we're going to get a lot of op-eds, and they're going to keep on indicting us. They'll keep on issuing subpoenas, and they're going to try to put us all in prison while we tweet. Thank you, Cash. Appreciate it. See you soon. Go to fightwithcash.com. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
They're going to perp walk a president, and we're going to tweet about it. Are you guys getting enough sleep? Probably not. Sleep is one of the most powerful factors to upgrading your health. The problem with sleep is many of you probably say, I want to go to bed at 9, but I don't fall asleep till 11:30. What if I told you that if you wanted to go to bed at 9, you could be asleep by 9:05? Daisy, who works on our team, I said, look, you got a big problem. You're not having enough magnesium, right? True story. And she tried it, and she came back to work the next day, and she said, Charlie, I don't even remember going to sleep. Boom, you fall asleep. Now, look, many of you guys probably say, but Charlie, I take melatonin. Well, there's an issue with melatonin. It's not altogether bad. Huberman believes it actually could increase symptoms of depression. But the problem with melatonin is that the body adapts and you need to take more and more of it and it becomes less effective. There's a much better approach, and you feed your body the natural melatonin building blocks and the transformers known as cofactors so that your body naturally produces melatonin. Thanks to a brand new sleep formula developed by my friends at Bioptimizers, you can experience the best sleep ever. After years of trial and error and sleep tracking, they finally launched a new groundbreaking sleep formula called Sleep Breakthrough. Sleep Breakthrough is a delicious sleep drink that supports your natural melatonin production and relaxation without creating a dependency so that you have your best night's sleep on demand. It targets five different sleep pathways to give you the best sleep ever. You'll fall asleep in minutes and you'll stay asleep throughout the night. And I know many of you say, Charlie, I want to go to bed at 10 o'clock, but then I end up falling asleep and I end up groggy and then I got a lot of coffee and the cycle continues. What helps you get the right amount of REM and deep sleep, and best of all, you'll wake up feeling rested and rejuvenated so you can have the best day possible. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk. That is sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code Kirk10, you can unlock special gifts with purchase with retail values of at least $20. This is a limited time offer for select orders. Go to sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk right now. That is sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use code Kirk10 for a discount. Just to understand the mind of the left, you have some very broken people. They have this fetish. They have this wet dream. They have this fascination with seeing Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit. It's not just because of Trump. It's because of what he represents. It's the fact he was able to displace them from power. This is a source of meaning for them, purpose. There will be celebration. I don't know if there'll be celebration on the streets. I wouldn't be surprised if there will be celebration in the streets if Donald Trump is actually arrested. But for them, this is how they temporarily filled an existential void. Many of them don't have children, or if they do, that doesn't give them meaning. Many of them do not believe in God, and so they do not have any sort of connection or yearning to be connected to the divine. They live in really crammed apartments in the Bronx or Brooklyn. They've been told that you're unhappy because of the orange man, and now you must put orange suit on orange man. That's very, very complex thinking on behalf of the New York City activist class. And, of course, that's not the way life works, but that's a main driver here. This is not rational. You're dealing with pathological behavior, almost diabolical, mind you. I want to play a piece of tape here from Jonathan Turley, legal expert. I want to play both of them. So we'll start with cut eight, then cut nine. Play cut eight, please.
One would say that Bragg is outside of his lane, but in this case, he's on a completely different highway. I mean, this is an effort by a state official to effectively prosecute a federal crime, a crime that the Department of Justice decided not to prosecute.
Next one, play cut nine, please.
I think Bragg is out of time. The statute of limitations is about 2 years on this offense. That has already run. You can extend it to 5 years if you connect it as a felony to another crime. Even at 5 years, I'm not sure the time has not run out. So there's going to be some very intense challenges here.
But they've never cared about the law. These are postmodernists who believe that you can make up your own truth. They don't care if the legal theory is weak on this one. They think he should have been successfully impeached twice. They think he should be in jail for January 6th. They think he's a criminal. They've thought that for a while. They yearn to put the people they hate in handcuffs. They find pleasure and thrills in the suffering and the cruelty of others. The cruelty is the point. He's been investigated for 40 years of work. Not he's been investigated for 40 years, but they've investigated 40 years of work. He's a developer, and this is the best that they can find. And yeah, they found a couple tax issues with Weissman or Weisberg. Allen, the guy that worked in his office, is the CFO. And that's it. When a country starts to engage in naked political persecution, you start to go places we've never gone before. And, you know, somebody says, you know, Charlie, we're not as divided as we were in the Civil War. You could say what you want about the Civil War. This never happened in the Civil War. Perp walking a former president. What makes the regime different than almost any other regime in history is that instead of governing, instead of improving the welfare of the nation that they are in, instead of fighting for the citizens and saying, you know, we got a fentanyl problem and a middle class wage problem and, oh yeah, we have banks collapsing. It's as if the current regime bases their success on how many bad guys or people they hate they can put behind bars. Their power depends basically on criminalizing the opposition in one form or the other. So when I call these people Maoists, I absolutely believe it. Trump is, of course, the most standout example. But don't forget Douglas Mackey, the FBI spying on parents, the criminalization of the justice system against Steve Bannon or Mark Houck. They look at success not based on all the objective independent metrics that we would. Do you have a border? Are you balancing the budget? Are you able to have a safe country? Is violent crime going down? Are you able to fund your social services? Are people happy? No, instead, the country is the most depressed, most suicidal, most alcohol addicted, most psychiatric drug addicted in history. The border is wide open and 5,000 people are crossing it every day. We've now spent $200 billion on a proxy war 5,000 miles away. Middle class income is going up, inflation at a record high. We have a couple bank collapses that very well could be the entire banking system. But the way the regime judges their own success, when they give themselves their own report card, their report card is, did we put people we hate in jail? That's how they judge success. And that shows that we're dealing with very broken and evil people. This should not be a mystery. And by the way, every pastor in America, they won't, but because most pastors are cowards and feckless, they should be giving clear sermons about the evil act of using the government to indict political opponents, the tyranny of it. And we're just supposed to take it, yeah, okay, everything's just fine, and I guess we'll just live to fight another day. The country is crumbling around us. We are on the razor edge of totalitarianism. And that does not mean we fight back. That means we have to do more. The other reason they're doing this, and this is not a stated reason, they want to put on display. They want to try to chill your activism. They want to try to chill your speech. They want you to be afraid that you could be next. And by the way, you might be next. You might be audited next. You might be indicted next. You might be raided next. They want to have the symbol of the MAGA movement, Trump himself, put behind bars, and that's going to give them some sort of sick thrill. These are broken, very sick people. Stay peaceful. We'll see if tomorrow, for the first time in American history, a former president gets arrested. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.